I'll be reading Psalms chapter 119, verse 160. All your words are true, all your laws are right, they last forever.
Get this thing on to start with. I hope it wasn't on when I was singing. We'd all filed out here quickly. Okay. How we doing? Is that about right? Welcome, everybody. It is good to see everybody here this morning. Some faces I haven't seen forever, and you guys changed a lot. You didn't stay the same like I did. You notice my tie? I'm sharing the pulpit with Dan today, so I have to take every advantage for you to remember what I'm saying. And this draws attention to what I'm saying, right? Tucker even noticed it. And Dan was worried that it was going to take too much of his time. So, Brother Dan, I've got my little pocket watch out here. And he said a prayer over Iowa that he talks a lot slower, so I got to give him more time than I'm going to take. So. Anticipating and looking ahead. As I go through my lesson this morning, I'm going to refer to some scriptures. So if you're taking notes, I'll give you those scriptures now. Because as I read, I'm just going to read those scriptures. I won't mention where they're coming from at the time. This will also be on the internet. So if this afternoon you want to go back and look at some of the scriptures that I've read, you can do that. Matthew 16, 15 through 18. Matthew 12, 46 through 50, Colossians 1, 18, John 13, 14 and 15, and John 13, 34, 35, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, and Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Okay, something's happening that I don't know about. Are you okay? Oh, yeah, I did them pretty fast, didn't I? That's why I said they're... They're on the internet. Not everybody can say shorthand, right? Okay. Or you can see me later, afterwards. We'll have some time of fellowship, and then you can ask me about them then. The summer, our porch is starting to fall off. So Sandy and I decided that we're going to rebuild our porch. And so you know how guys work. The first thing they do is tear the porch off, and then they decide what they're going to do after they get it tore off, right? But we had to envision what we wanted. And we talked about it, and of course, Sandy had a lot of input on this, okay? She wants railings, and she wants those stained, you know. Then she wants these little spindles, and she wants those painted white. And she wants the floor stained to match the railings. Of course, then the guy's thinking, he says, well, we need support here, so we better have four columns. And of course, she was okay with that. And we decided how far the columns were going to be spread apart, whether they're going to block the door, where the steps were going to go, all those types of things, right? We hired a contractor named Frank. And we had to tell Frank what we had envisioned, okay? This is what we want, Frank. We went out to the lumber yard, bought the materials. We did the staining. He sees this big pile of lumber, some columns sitting in my garage. And we say, Frank, this is what we want. We want you to build this for us. Frank's pretty good. He's real patient, by the way. He's a good contractor. And he patiently listened to us, and as we was building the porch, he would ask us questions. Is this kind of what you had in mind? And yes, this is what we had in mind. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that to you, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Jesus claimed in verse 18 that I will build my church. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. He is the head of the church. Jesus envisioned a church. And we have to help him build that church. We have to understand what Jesus envisioned. These are some of the things that he envisioned when he envisioned his church. That there would be no more separation between Jews and Gentiles. That all would come together. That there would be no preference in social standing. The poor, the wealthy, women, slaves, masters. There would be no separation because of those types of things. That those who do God's will, he will call brother and sister. While he was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Folks, we have a pretty good grasp of a biological family and how it works, and how when we hurt each other, we get through those times, but we still love each other, that brothers and sisters look out for each other, even though they might be fighting at home. When they're at school, they're looking for each other's back, that type of thing. Jesus envisioned the church as brothers and sisters with that same type of connection. That's what he envisioned. We need to strive for that. Jesus envisioned that we would serve each other. If then the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. He wanted us to love each other. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And the last point is that he wanted us to make disciples. Matthew 28:18-20. I would like to spend some time on the vision that Jesus had for his church and where we are in relation to that, specifically calling each other brother and sister and serving each other and loving one another. In the past 3 years, we have grown closer together as a body, and we have grown as a body. Take a look around. We've got lots of infants out here. We've had at least 7 born in the last year. I've probably forgotten some. We've just had so many. And it's hard for me to remember all their names. Even as a mailman, that's one, supposed to be one of my specialties, is being able to remember names, okay? We as a congregation have prayed for these infants. We have dedicated to help the parents raise these young children in the Lord. You know, this weekend we're talking about remembering the people who had influence in our lives. And I remember those who had influence in my life. A lot of you are sitting in this auditorium today. We in turn have a responsibility to influence these young people to get to know the Lord and to live a life for the Lord. We have people here. I met a couple here. I can't remember your last name, but Vera and Bob. We're here in the early 60s. And they remember some of the people that were here. And I married Sandy. She was just a little gal when these guys were here. Look at the connection over decades of the influence that they had clear back in the 60s and 70s to where we are today. It's our responsibility that these young kids get to know the Lord. We are in the process of developing a program for these infants to learn on their level. During the sermon, a segment of the worship service, these young children will be learning about God. They will sing songs, have stories read from Scripture, and learn how to relate to each other. This will be very challenging for the teachers, but they love these kids and want to see them grow closer to God. We are also in the process of developing a program called Lads to Leaders. This program will help young men learn about God in various ways, by memorizing Scripture, learning to give devotions, song leading, writing poems, and other things. In doing this together, they will hopefully bond with each other. We have a great group of young people here. We have 2 of our young men who were given a servant award by the Boy Scouts. We have a young lady who started a group called Bright Lights for the young ladies of the congregation. This group of young ladies learn moral values and become closer to each other and closer to God. Recently, some of our youth initiated gathering together on a regular basis so that they could become closer to each other and closer to God. In the last 2 years, these young people have served other people by helping out in the floods that we've endured and the tornadoes that we had. Recently, 3 young people put their Lord on in baptism. All of these things excite me because I see the youth of this congregation not only developing a love for God, but are in the process of developing bonds that will last a lifetime. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. They are developing a love for each other. They are being servants of God, and they are fulfilling the vision that Jesus had for His church. As you can see, we have a new auditorium and an area for fellowship. And as you can also see, we are already outgrowing it. Maybe we should consider expanding again, Glenn. No? Not anytime soon, right? One of the reasons for expanding was to help serve those of the congregation and the community. We've already used the fellowship on a few occasions that the congregation needed. When we think of evangelizing those who are lost, a couple things come to mind. We need a close, loving, servant-oriented people to bring new converts into. We have to show them by our love for one another what the Lord envisioned for His church. For what good would it do to convert them to the Lord, only to bring them to a place of discord and bitterness? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The other reason for this facility is so that we can gather together to sing, pray, read the Word, and worship the Lord our God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Jesus had a vision for what His church would be, and I pray that God would help us fulfill what He envisioned. Now to Him who is able to exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Good morning. I usually put all this stuff on beforehand, so y'all don't have to watch me getting all dressed, but thanks for your patience. I don't know about you, but I'm headed to the Promised Land. Are you? Whoa, what a group of, man, it is so awesome to see and to hear this many Christians gathered together praising and worshiping our Lord and our God. I thought a lot about this week and the idea that we would spend time thinking about where we have been and our past. And I thought about the express need to talk about where we're going. And brother, I appreciate you talking about some of the visions that Jesus had for His church. Because that is what we're about. We are about moving along with the vision that Christ had for His church. Now, with that in mind, I thought about the fact that both large and small companies place a really big importance on safety. There's a few business owners in here, and they can identify with how important it is for their workers to remain safe on the job, because workplace injuries cost companies enormous amounts of money. But there is one common practice that most employers go after when they're seeking to eliminate some workplace injuries.
they, interestingly enough, a lot of employers ask their employees while driving company vehicles not to back up if at all possible. Because most accidents, vehicular accidents, happen while backing up. So they ask their employees when they're parking their cars to try to park them where when they leave they can just pull out in a forward way because they don't want to back up. And I think about the words of Jesus in Luke 9:62. No one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now we learn by our past. That's a good thing. But church, I want to make sure that I emphasize the point this morning that we don't want to put it in reverse. You know what I'm talking about? We want a forward gear. We're moving in a forward direction. That's what God has established for us. We've got kingdom work to do. We've learned from our past. And we have a lot of past sitting here today. But wherever you live, whether it's here in Cedar Falls and Waterloo or in this state somewhere else or across the country, wherever you live, God has appointed kingdom business for you to do in the here and now and in the tomorrows to come. You know what I'm talking about? For His glory and for His reasons and for His purposes. The Lord has made our memories and He expects us to use them for growth according to His purpose, according to His will, and according to expanding His kingdom. With these things in mind this morning, I'd like for us to consider how we should move forward in this place and in the places that you might live. There are three things that that's a good round preacher number, isn't it? There's always got to be 3 points. There are really three, you know, I didn't just build 3 points so I could be a preacher. There are really 3 things in particular that we need to consider when we think about moving forward in whatever place in life you're in. The very first thing I want to talk to you about is the idea of spiritual growth in your life. Okay? We must at all costs avoid the thinking that somehow we've arrived spiritually. We're where we ought to be. You know, if the Cedarloo Church, or put your church in the, wherever you go to, if the Cedarloo Church of Christ has just reached this place where we're really comfortable with where we are in a sad state of affairs. God did not create us to be satisfied with some imaginary place we've arrived at. God increases the bar. Every time we jump over it, He raises it a little bit higher. God has called us to growth, and we need to do all that we can to step up to His plate. If we think of spiritual growth in the context, perhaps, of climbing the mountain of God, we should understand that God does not want us hanging out on plateaus. You know, when you're climbing a mountain and you get to a nice level spot, you're like, whew, thank goodness, I'm going to take a little rest. I'm not going to keep climbing. I'm just going to hang out here. You know, God didn't build us to be people like that, church. God made us to be people that were reaching for new planes of spiritual growth in our lives. So I want to encourage you individually and both us as a church not to get stagnant, okay, but to grow. Now, I want to talk about five. I think there's some basic factors to spiritual growth. Just want to briefly mention them because I've only got 15 minutes. I got to talk real fast and I really talk slow, right? Okay. First of all, when we're talking about spiritual growth, number one, a full surrender to God is required. Now that takes our thinking to Matthew 16 verse 24 when Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Let me tell you what, church, we better be a people that are willing to release ourselves, surrender ourselves to God completely, because that's the type of heart. That's the fertile ground that God can work with. But oftentimes, we get in the way of God's work. We want to give God part of ourselves and then reserve that other little part because we want to have our fun. God doesn't want that. God says, you come to my altar and you give your full self as a presentation to me and let me do with you as I am pleased. That's what God says. Coming to God fully surrendered means coming with your palms down versus your palms up. Your palms up asking for a handout. You know, we're really good about that, going into the presence of God. Hey, I need this, 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 and this. How about going to God with your palms down just so you're reaching up to Him, asking Him to grab onto you? Instead of it making everything about us, which sometimes we end up doing. Only deep spiritual faith can help us surrender to God fully. And Gordon mentioned that earlier. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God from Romans 10:17. If you want to grow, you've got to embrace God through His Word. When that faith grows in your heart, your spiritual side grows, and then, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new have come. That's what God has inside. That's what God has in mind for us. Full surrender in matters of spirituality. Number two, I think that when it comes to spirituality, we have to allow for God's shaping in our lives. If you go read Isaiah and Jeremiah on to the book of Romans, you will see God described as being a potter shaping us the clay. But you know the interesting thing about a potter shaping clay? The clay needs to be moldable. Have you ever tried to shape a concrete block? Be a little rough on your hands, wouldn't it? Church, just a simple idea here. We need to be a people that are moldable before God, allowing Him to shape us, allowing His vision of who we are and ought to be to come to fruition versus what we want. I think about Romans 12:1-2. Particularly verse 2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Will you as a church, will you as a Christian allow God to transform you? Will you allow the potter to have His way with you, to shape you after His will and His desire? It is your choice in matters of spirituality. Number three, in thinking about spirituality, church, let me tell you what, I really want to emphasize this. Even if I have to preach over 10 minutes, how's that? We got to take sin seriously. We must take sin seriously, not allowing even the smallest of sins to be tucked away in our heart. I think about Romans chapter 6, talking about the newness of life before God, and how we should not allow the grace of God to minimize the continuing of sin in our life. Shall we continue in sin so that grace might abound? Are we going to take advantage of the grace of God? Oh, it doesn't matter if I stop doing this or not. God will take care of that. You know that thinking that goes on in people's minds and hearts? Let me tell you what, church, that's wrong. Sin is wrong. Sin at the core is nothing besides rebellion to God. And secondly, sin is defined in the New Testament by the word hamartia in the Greek. It's missing the mark of God in your life. It's missing the intention. Not only is it stubborn rebellion, but it's also missing out on what God's got in mind for you. We don't want to be that. We want to step up to the plate of what God has in mind for us. Because let me tell you what, church, when we're willing to step up to God's plate, He can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Number four, in thinking about spirituality, I think we should consider doing something that we're kind of doing today for certain. I think we need to stoke. Do you know what that means? I mean, I'm just an old country boy. You stoke the fire, right? Spell check had to help me out with that one, okay? You take an old iron and you stoke the fire. And when you stoke the fire, you stir up the embers right in there. And boy, after you stoke it, you better step back because it's going to get pretty hot, right? We need to stoke the fire of devotion in our hearts. Church, we need to be a people that are passionate for God. Not a people who just sit back and proclaim that they know God and they agree with Him and they're going to try to live for Him, but a people moved to feeling in their heart about what they're talking about God. I can't stand up here and share God with you and not have any excitement in my voice because let me tell you what, I'm going to heaven! Aren't you? Let God stir your heart. Let me tell you what, in the Church of Christ, which I grew up in, we were afraid when I was a kid to let any emotion show because that's what the outside world has done. Let me tell you what, I want to let the emotion of God flow through my heart, through His Word when I preach. Because when God says it, it's real, and it's accurate, and it is life-saving. Successful people all have one thing in common. They're passionate about something. Church, when we're talking about matters of spirituality, I ask you to consider the fact that you need to create a passion in your heart for heaven. A deep stirring in your heart that will not be satisfied without God. Setting our focus on heaven, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Putting our minds on God. When we think about spirituality, number 5, we must be a people of prayer. We must be a people of prayer, a people looking in God's direction, a people who understand that they cannot direct their own steps, Jeremiah 10:23, but a people who go to God and ask Him to lead their lives. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, so that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus." Are we a people of prayer? Are we going to try to lead ourselves? Or are we going to let God take the leadership? Our brother that spoke just a while ago, he's one of our elders, Dave Engel. When he was talking about Jesus' church, he said the head of the church was the elders, right? He didn't say that. The head of the church is the preacher, right? Wrong. Let me emphasize that. The head of the church is Jesus. That's the head of the church. And if we are going to move forward in this world, it better be by our head. And we better be in prayer asking for direction. Because I don't know about you, but when I try to find things without asking directions, I get lost. I'm pretty good at it. I don't generally ask directions. But let me tell you what, when we're talking about in spiritual matters, we got to ask directions. You know, that kind of necessitates a humble heart, doesn't it? Jesus quoted Isaiah 56 and verse 7. When He said, "For my house will be called a house of prayer." Is that what we are? I hope so. I hope we place great emphasis when we think about our spiritual souls on prayer. That's point number one. Point number two. Wow, I'm doing pretty good. Point number two. Moving forward. Now I have specific emphasis on this point this morning. Moving forward must include a commitment to the truth of God. There seems to be a big wind of change blowing through our brotherhood. A change to make worship about us instead of God. A change to minimize God's Word in an effort to grow the church. Church, worship is not about us, it's about God. We were never promised to be the most popular folks on the block. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 13, tells us to enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many that enter through that. The Apostle Paul directs us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 to follow the pattern that we've seen in him and the apostles. Now, I'm amazed at this, and I'm just going to hammer this because I know it's right. God said it's got to be right. God has always established a pattern for his people to walk in. Amen? You can start in Genesis and read on through Revelations. It only takes one reading to know that God hadn't just put us out here and said, do whatever you think's okay. Whatever you want to do in relationship to me is all right. Just feel your way through it. If you feel good about it, it's got to be right. He didn't say none of that. He says, here's what I want you to do. Here's a pattern for you to follow. Do it. We've got members of our brotherhood. I've been reading them. I've been hearing them one-on-one, so I'm not making this up. This isn't second-hand. Saying that there's no pattern in the Bible. Church, it's not accurate. God has told us what he wants. He has given us truth, and he wants us to do what he says. He doesn't want us to make up ways to suit our fancy just to grow the church. We are not here to grow the church. We are here to share the gospel with people, and they will become added to the church. Our business is sharing the gospel. If we want to grow the church, we could do all kinds of, we could set up all kinds of interesting things. We could serve steak and potatoes, and I guarantee we'd have a little more people next week. But is that what God said? Here's what God says. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John 4 and verse 24. Now, if we have to worship in truth, folks, that automatically gives us understanding that there are ways to worship that's not in truth. So we need to be seeking that truth as God's delivered it, so that, John 8, 31 and 32, so that we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We cannot set ourselves free by our own imaginations, by our own speculation, by fulfilling our desires and our wants and designing worship services around what pleases us. We must follow the pattern that God set for us.
Amen.
And not apologize for it in the process. Okay, point number two. I love the truth of God's Word. It's the only thing I can count on. It's the only thing that doesn't change. Number three, if we're going to move forward, church, we've got to be evangelistic in nature, sharing God's Word with the lost in this world. Now, we've built a nice facility here. I hope you're enjoying, if you're sitting in about the first four rows, you're sitting in brand spanking new, never set in chairs. I hope those are comfortable. The lights are nice. Ceiling fans running. We got food over there. It's a pretty good deal, but if all we are about is building a church facility, we've missed the mark. Church, God made us to be people builders. God made us not to seek our own desires, but God made us to be people to throw out the lifeline to a world lost in sin. Along with the apostles, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation to share that gospel with people out here in the world. The great question that remains is this: will we let our light shine before men? Matthew 5 and verse 16. Will we become the fishers of men, or will we become people who sit in a fellowship hall eating food to satisfy their own fancies? We've got that option, you know. We cannot ever set foot outside this door, and we can come in here, we can praise and honor God, then we can go sit over there and feed ourselves and never walk next door and ask the man to come to church. I want to ask you a question, Cedarloo Church, and the church that you're from. Are you in the self-service business, or are you in the kingdom service business? The kingdom service business acknowledges that our task, our commission, our directive before God is to take the gospel to a lost generation. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 21 says, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Are we going to be a people who are going to share this good news with other people? God calls us to it. Church, let me tell you this. God demands it of us. If we think on any level that we're going to sit here and we're going to worship God and never share Him with anyone else and go to heaven and expect God to be pleased with us, I think we're going to be part of the group that says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." How dare you take in the truth of my word and not be willing to share that with someone else? God has given us the keys to life. The keys to eternity. How can we not share that? We must. We must get serious about that. We must get creative. I see on TV these places, you know, some of these reality shows, group of people making all starting businesses, and I see the great creativity that they go through to start a new business. They get really interesting. They make advertisements. They do all this stuff. And I think to myself, wow, I wish the church would do some of this stuff. What are we doing to reach the lost? I can just answer that by saying we need to be doing more. I want to just say this. Now, I'm just going to say this. Yes, if you're not a member of the Cedarloo Church, just endure this for a second. Cedarloo Church, we need to do a better job. We haven't been doing very good for us. Amen?
Amen.
I had a good friend of mine named Ken Dawes. I have delivered more refrigerators and washers and dryers with that man than any person on the face of this planet. Not just toward that end. Ken Dawes shared with me one of the greatest things I've ever learned. He was willing to go after anybody for the Lord. At any time of night, right, Carl? Even if you had to get up at 4 o'clock the next morning to go to church, go to work, excuse me. I want to be like that. God calls me to be like that. This next year, I want to encourage you, Cedarloo, and you other churches as well, to try to win people for Jesus. Sharing the truth of God's Word with them. Now, we're just going to close up here because I'm out of time. We've had 4 baptisms. It wasn't 3, it's 4. We had 3 kids and 1 older person. We got the baptistry right over there. Is there water in it, Keith? Where's Keith? He must be fellowshipping. There is water. You know, the deacon of fellowship, he's probably got a few duties he's running. Hey, we've got water over there, and I know for certain that there's some kids who haven't made that decision yet. So I know for certain that there's some folks here who have not been baptized into Christ that need to make that decision. The water is warm, it's clean, and once you go down in and come out, you'll be clean because the blood of Jesus will have washed your sins away. That's the message we have to share with you. If you have a need this morning in any way, the church stands as a servant of God to take your requests, to pray with you, to be with you in any way that we can. To the end that Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever. Amen."